Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What any chance?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands, because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa, hunger in the United States, and not having spare hands.
I just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. But she was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if my favorite toys just happen to be half-naked muscular men? All right, everybody, My Wife is Gonna Kill Me is back, this time to discuss Netflix's series The Punisher. Did we love it? Did we hate it? Did we love it but could see why somebody else would hate it? We're gonna find out.
Did we hate it but have no reason as to why anybody could love it?
There's a lot to be discussed here, and I think it's gonna be pretty showing. It's going to be a telling conversation of who we are as a person, as people, as a community, and as a country, by what us three guys think of this series. So, I'm your host, Steve Bisciotti. With me today is the two best co-hosts a host could have, Travis Bowles and Pete McCarthy. How you doing, guys?
I was doing really good until I just looked over and saw where the batteries were stashed that I could have sold that guy earlier that I couldn't find.
Wow.
If you guys listen to our other episode, you'll hear us get interrupted by a customer, and I had to turn him away because I didn't have what he needed, and I just noticed we had what he needed.
That's what happens when the boss runs a store.
Yup. Don't know shit.
So, here we go. Travis, you going to take this over?
Sure.
We're going to be focused. We're tired. We just recorded a wonderful two-hour episode for you guys. So we're going to try to wrap this up. Travis, take it away.
Well, you know, we really do enjoy doing these recap episodes. It's hard finding the balance of when to do them, finding the time for all three of us to watch a show. I'll tell you what was interesting about Punisher. I don't remember when it dropped, but within the first 2 weeks, we all finished it.
I don't even think it took us that long, did it?
I think I was 2 weeks because I think I had the final three episodes that I waited at least a week. We watch it on a weekend.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a weekend. Or maybe so. It might have been a week, I guess.
Impressive nonetheless. This was 13 hours of television.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And so this is one that we wanted to get in on. And obviously, you know, it's a binge-worthy show. It's a show that you would just binge. We understand if you have not watched Punisher, that there's something wrong with you. But what we would recommend is don't listen to this podcast. Unless you're not concerned with spoilers, but this is going to be a spoiler-filled podcast where we're going to talk about things that we liked, loved, and hated about the show, as well as break down some of the characters and some key plot points. So hang in if you want, but get ready, because this may be brutal, just like this season of The Punisher was. Right away, I want to get right off, hit off right from the start and say, what did you like and love about this season of The Punisher? What did you like and love? Peter.
I right out of the gate, they gave us the Punisher that I was hoping for. The whole sequence with the construction guys and the sludge hammer and that,
that was just pure Frank Castle to me. I really like how they weren't afraid of doing things the way they should have been done. The violence aspect, the loner aspect, the tormented soul aspect. I just thought they killed it. The writing was phenomenal. They did a great job. I loved that they gave us the Frank Castle that we deserved.
Yeah, right there with you on that. You brought up a key thing that I would say was important for me was the writing. You know, you kind of put a lot into what you just said there, but man, the writing on this was great. The things they tackled, the way they went with this, but and just I think about some of the little things, and like I loved how they kept calling Frank hipster.
Yeah, it was so good.
The first few episodes,
like three or four different people referred to him as hipster.
Hey, hipster, you know? The phone's for you.
Right.
I absolutely.
And then even
that.
The wife. You had your haircut. You don't look like a hipster anymore.
It was so good. Absolutely love that. Steven, what'd you like and love?
I liked the attention to the story, part of the story where they kind of focused on the post-traumatic stress disorder that veterans have. Obviously, me not having it, I don't know if there would be any way where a real person suffering from it would look at it and go that they made it look ridiculous. But through my eyes, I thought it was interesting. It was a cool aspect of it. I love the support group and all that. That was a fun, interesting way to show things and to create a plot point that was brewing there as well, a threat.
I thought they were very tasteful with the way they addressed it. Because you really could have gone the other way and really patronized those people. I say those people that truly are suffering from PTSD. But I thought they handled it very, and if nothing else, I was honestly surprised that at one or two of the end of the episodes that you didn't see like a little thing, like if you need help, you know, you've seen that, you know, where they, like a Law and Order SVU or a Criminal Mind, they, you know, they touch a subject and they give you a way to reach out. I was surprised to not see John Barenthal going, hey, PTSD is a real thing. And if you need help, you can call this number, support the veterans or something like that. Cause I really thought they handled it very, very tastefully.
I totally agree with you on that aspect of it. They hit some real world. This is a comic book character show. And they hammered some just real world topics. And, you know, I follow a bunch of, you know, groups on Facebook. And I saw a lot of vets talk about how much they really enjoyed this season and that aspect of it. You know, and I thought, man, one of the bad guys is a vet struggling with, you know, PTSD. Yeah. I mean, so I was really impressed with how they handled that. And not only, I felt like it was real, you know, and tastefully done. And I thought it was pretty awesome. So I'm right there with you on that, Steven. I thought that was a really interesting aspect to the show, and I loved it. My likes and loves, man, what Pete said about it being our Frank, that's my Frank, you know. I mean, just brutal. I love how he plays him. I think he's great. Everybody knows I got a little bit of a crush on the guy already.
Your extensive history.
Oh, yeah.
John Barenthal.
We had a moment. John and I ran into each other at Michigan's largest comic book convention. You know, I was a vendor there. You know, he was a guest. So you'd see how our cross would path, you know.
Kind of like on equal planes.
That's a fine. That's fine.
Yeah. The paths would cross. I'm definitely getting a fine on that one.
John, if you're listening, that's what you do to Travis.
Yeah.
You get him all tongue-tied, man.
Just like that day, you know. And he was walking by my booth, and I said, I love you. And he's like, my eyes are up here.
I want to do an hour-long special on Pickle Gazing the Punisher.
I love that aspect of this. He was brutal. He was just a machine. And that's what I love about Frank. You know, that the comics I've enjoyed is they talk about how, you know, it's always it's the other people talking about Frank that are give you the, you know, Frank doesn't give you great conversation. No. Now, in this Punisher, he probably does a lot more because it's 13 hours of television. They got to develop these characters. But it's when you hear other people talking about him. It's in the comics. It's how he's just a force of nature because he doesn't feel anymore. He doesn't all those things that drive us. He doesn't have anymore. You know, those emotions, they're gone. And there was just some amazing scenes in this that I thought were really great. And one of them that was, it was actually kind of a weird thing to watch, but the scene where he's getting tortured towards the end of the season, and the whole time he's having visions of having sex with his wife, right. You know, and Heidi's like, I just don't like this part of it. I mean, why is, and I'm like, he's thinking about.
He's trained himself to be somewhere
else.
Yeah,
he's thinking about something else, but it all then comes down to, and it's as you watch each episode, things just kind of start making sense. Why are they spending so much time on this kid? Why are they doing this? Why have we got so much of Microchip's family? Why, you know, Micro's family? I mean, all these things. And then it's him at that point where he actually gets to choose, go with his wife and die,
right.
Or punish, go for revenge, and live, you know, and what choice does he make?
God, that, yeah. the guy torturing him, and I apologize, I can't think, Rollins?
Rollins, yep.
Was a vile motherfucker, man.
That's a monster. They did a very good job with him.
They did. You didn't see it until a little bit. I mean, you could tell that he was obviously cold, but, I mean, as that show drew on, he started to fall into that Ramsay Bolton, Jeffrey Negan, that he was that antagonist. And man, if television these days isn't giving us hateable enemies, man, holy shit.
You have to have good bad guys.
Oh.
I can't think of a show that I would say that is the greatest show ever that doesn't have good bad guys.
That is
guys.
A weak bad guy.
Yeah.
Why does everything that DC has fall on his face? All their bad guys are weak pieces of shit. Sorry. Anytime I get a chance to bash
some
DC.
Of the Marvel ones aren't so great either.
That's true too. It goes both ways. But somehow Marvel does find a way to at least have some good writing to, you know, make up for some things. But, you know, I loved it. That aspect of this show was, I thought, was amazing. And I thought they really knocked out how well they wrote it and how they tied. 13 hours of television is a lot of to fill.
And it's amazing how they demonstrated to us of everything that Frank has lost. As far as you talk about, he even mentions in there about how his ability to endure pain, how he's basically turned that part of his brain off, and that had to do with the military and what have you. But it shows how deep his sense of loyalty still is. The way he's loyal to his buddy in the woods when he goes to talk to him, his loyalty to Paige, the way that he goes about, you know, trying to protect her, the way he's loyal to Micro and his family, the way he is loyal to Billy Russo to a point, the way he's loyal to the black guy with the one leg, I can't think of his name. But his sense of loyalty is all that he has left to drive him, and he is still going out of his way to protect the people that he feels he can still protect because he wasn't able to protect his family, you know?
Yep.
And it's just emotionally driven big time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Peter, what did you dislike? What did you hate about this show?
I hated one thing about this show. I can't say there was anything I truly disliked, but there was one thing that I hated. I was terribly uncomfortable when he put that knife to that kid's throat. I did not like that scene at all.
Oh, Frank.
I like where he was going with it. I like what he was trying to do, but it just went to show this guy doesn't have kid gloves.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the moment after that was very good, you know, and he had to do that to draw that out of the kid. But that was a very uncomfortable moment when he pulled that fucking knife out. And you knew he wasn't going to hurt the kid.
Right.
But you're like, it's churned your stomach.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that I hated about, and again, even hate's a strong word because it was such a positive outcome.
Right.
But man, I just, and the playing football made it all better. But man, in that moment, I just, man, I just struggled
with it. I
wish
I had a dad like Frank.
I just
put a knife to your throat, then take you out back for a catch. Yeah.
Steven.
Hmm. What did I hate?
What did you hate? What did you dislike?
Oh, God. Wasn't anybody wondering where the foreman was on the construction job? I mean, really? You got this employee. Stands here, I realized what they were trying to do. I realized the point they were trying to make. But the vehicle of this point was ridiculous. I mean, yeah. Go over there and smash that wall all day long. There's no equipment we could use for that. There's no nothing else. No way to physically do that or to do that in more efficient manner. No cement saws. No nothing to go after that. Just have this guy over there, which we're paying. Did Frank even work there? Did they know he was there? Was he even an employee? Did he showed up?
No, Frank didn't work there. Peter Castellanos did. So,
well, you know what I mean. But I was like, why are they letting him beat that thing with a sledgehammer? That's the most inefficient way to go about it. It's ridiculous. It was like, and then the guys were like coming over. They're like, hey, you know, you're taking away our overtime. I didn't see anybody else swinging all day at a wall with a sledgehammer. Taking away your overtime. He's giving you all kinds of overtime if everybody's going to start swinging sledgehammers at concrete walls because you're. That job should have been done. There's it's ridiculous.
So here was my take on that. That's what he was doing on his breaks. They were going on their lunch break. He's hitting that. He's there before they get there. The shift hasn't started. He's hitting the wall. It's what he was doing in his downtime, his off time. I didn't take that as that's what he was doing all shift for 8 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours was.
What did you get what Travis is saying out of that?
I almost interrupted him, but then I always get in trouble for that shit. They were upset with him because he was working for free, and by him working for free, then it would take that took time off the end of the job. So he was taking money from them. That was where that whole OT thing
I understood
came from.
The OT right. thing in that aspect, but. If you look at it as if you everybody use sledgehammers instead of our power equipment that we've got, well, then you're going to create more work even if you worked after hours and tried to do all you could humanly possible. They did a poor job of explaining. If you're right, Travis, and it was just what he did on his breaks, they did a poor, shitty job way of showing that.
I'm right in the middle. I think that was his entire job. He's just a demo guy. But if you look, he wasn't always on the same wall. He progressed to different walls.
Right, but my point is
right.
In the time
they wouldn't use a sledgehammer.
They
for
wouldn't.
That.
It'd be yeah. like it'd be like if there's a water main break at work and they go out, hey guys, use the jackhammer. Don't touch the backhoe. Don't touch that. Just go out there. But don't even use a jackhammer. Go out there with a sledgehammer and bust up that concrete.
That's
and then
a
get
terrible.
Shovels.
That's a terrible example.
Why?
Because you have access to all of those things in that space. You're not going to get a big backhoe.
I'm not saying they should use a backhoe.
Like a 20-story building.
If,
you know what I mean?
If your company is a construction company, you're going to have equipment that can do that sort of thing.
But you're also hiring a bunch of illegal people. So maybe you don't. Maybe it's all off the books. So do you understand realistically, and this is going to sound weird, do you understand how easy it is to take cinder blocks out with a sledgehammer?
The
designation of the structural integrity of those cinder blocks, they're pocketed,
yes.
You know, they've got holes.
So the strength is
right.
up and not.
Right, and once you take one out, they all start to fall relatively easily. If I had any complaint about that scene, it was that he was working so hard to get through those. Because realistically, they crumble very, very well. Once you take one out, they all start to fall. So.
I don't know.
But it was the aspect of that menial task of him.
I understand
not, you know,
the message they were right. trying to, why they were using that. I just think they should have used a more creative vehicle.
What should they have done?
I mean, maybe showed him doing some actual work and then break time and then walk over and start smashing the wall.
That's what I wanted to see.
The wall.
I wanted to see him fucking building
the wall. I knew there was something missing. I knew there was something missing.
It could have been a second.
What I really wanted was to see him not be able to have conversation with anybody or any of that important dialogue because he was trying to scream over the sound of a whining cement saw.
Yes.
That's what I wanted.
Or you know, jackhammer.
Yeah, or a jackhammer.
That you guys
so
are
time.
So,
and
you
know
guys
what?
Are going at such lengths.
And actually, we could have saved quite a bit of time because they wouldn't have had to show the calloused hands and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he wouldn't have had those calluses because he'd been using a cement saw.
Because he would have been doing something that wouldn't help him get his frustration out.
Right.
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 Oh, yeah. Right.
They could have had one guy look at the other guy. That's, what the hell is that? I can't remember. What was his name? Pete?
His fake name
yeah.
was Pete Castellanos. Yeah.
Every time we go to bait, Pete goes over and knocks on that wall. Then they show the scene. They could have done something to make it a lot more realistic. Because I would have fired him. If I was the foreman on that job, I'd be like, you are going over there at
And then he would have hired his brother.
You can't work with anybody here because you can't talk to anybody. You got horrible social skills. You don't work well with others. Get that guy out of here.
Why? You're gonna fire the guy who's working for you for free?
The best worker at your place? You're gonna fire him?
He's staying until 9 o'clock at night, just smashing walls. Let him go. I'm gonna say shit to him.
Yeah, I'm going to fire the guy that can't use the backhoe to dig the hole. He goes over and uses a shovel.
But he wasn't.
And can't work on a crew and has to go over by himself.
Yeah, but you're also going to fire the guy that brings the backhoe into somebody's backyard and drives over their rosalias and knocks down their fence and all that shit when he should have gone back there for a shovel. That cuts both ways, Stephen. Maybe the structural of this building, maybe they couldn't use something more powerful. Maybe it had to be more fine-tuned and done by hand.
Hey, Marvel, I got an idea for you. You remember, you got idiots watching your shows. They need you to spell every little thing out.
Thank God you got idiots.
I just don't understand why Uncle Ben wasn't there. Why didn't they give me just a brief Uncle Ben, and that would have made me happy?
Had Uncle Ben been there and just shown him kind of running,
I tried.
You know, with maybe, you know, trying to stop someone and then getting killed.
My gosh.
Okay, are we taking a butthurt vote here? Is this our first butthurt vote?
I don't think he's
No, he's not butthurt. Yeah, not butthurt enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's wrong.
He's wrong. He's definitely wrong. He's wrong and stupid, but not butthurt. So.
Anything else you disliked besides?
Oh, the car chase.
Oh, yeah.
And that
wasn't
was one...
really too much of a car chase, but it was the closest, yeah.
And I totally argued with you when we first had that conversation, but I totally... I'm not necessarily totally in your camp, but
look
I
how
totally
he doesn't
get,
want to agree with me. Look at this.
Well, but I told you that day. Ed, the more we talked about it, because we needed to have that bit of micro coming in and risking himself to save Frank. We needed that portion of it. We also needed a way for the Punisher to do something good and make the CIA agent, or excuse me, Homeland agent,
Madonna.
You know, so there was a port in, I agree with you that it wasn't maybe the best way to handle it, but I do think that it was necessary to the story.
I didn't like the car chase, and I didn't like the choice of car. I mean, for crying, to put them both in hot rods just was ridiculous. For her to take her classic car out on the job, you know what I mean?
Maybe Homeland Security doesn't issue police cars. Maybe you got to drive. Maybe it's 53.5 cents per mile.
I'm sure she had. Maybe that's how they do it. She just decided to go run somebody down in her. I don't know. It seemed like they were trying to. I don't really.
What's
even
your
know.
Best time? I don't know. I've never driven it. How come? Because it scares the shit out of me. Chassis twisted.
It just seemed
off the
dumb.
Line. I don't like car chase. I don't like car chase movies. I've never watched. I watched Fast and the Furious number one, have never watched another one since. And I've heard I've missed out on some good movies. I don't like car movies.
They're
entertaining. I don't like car chases. I don't like that stuff. So I was right with Steve on this. I totally agree with Peter that they needed some, there was some plot devices they had to have in place. And this was how they got there. And I also, 13 hours of television, what are we going to do? And but I could have done without the car chasing, for sure. Yep, I don't know how you. I mean, would have a building fallen on her? Maybe Frank would have been hitting the wall with the sledge, and when the wall fell,
and it would have caused more damage because had he used a saw, it would have been nice straight lines, yes. But it was jagged
Frank
concrete.
Frank should have been on foot because it's more efficient to walk somewhere than drive a car, the way he thinks.
Man, Steve, that's bad. I mean,
why does he use guns? He should use a slingshot.
It's getting worse.
Oh my gosh! All right. Anyways, those are the two things that I didn't like.
Travis,
I loved everything.
Jeez. But here's the kicker: can you see why someone else wouldn't?
No, they're wrong. You know, and I think we got a great example of someone here sitting here right here who probably didn't like certain parts of the show. Steve's wife, our producer Courtney, is sitting here, and I imagine Courtney did not like the violence. Did Courtney watch any of this?
Well, she says no, but she means yes. That's what I found.
Mm.
Well, I've got a. Speaking of that, along those lines,
she gave me a dirty look, but she's the one that hated Walking Dead, but now watches it. Doesn't even wait to watch it for me.
Finger time too.
So when she's when she talks to hated Big Bang Theory, now she likes it. So when she says she don't like it, I just don't believe her anymore.
How can you hate Big Bang Theory?
I think
at first you did.
I could see where someone would say it's too real, it's too violent. It's like it makes me feel uncomfortable. I could see why someone would say those things, and I could understand where they're coming from because it's all of those things, without a doubt.
Since you, since Courtney is here, I ask you guys a personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. I had someone ask me, there is a couple of pretty good sex scenes between Russo and Madani in The Punisher. You've seen it, correct, Courtney? You've seen Punisher?
She did not see those scenes, I don't think.
Okay. Well, there is one scene where the position they have chosen would be considered, like, it would be, I would call it spooning doggy style, you know what I mean? Where he's behind her, kind of rat, while she kind of twists and they're kind of making out while he's hitting it from behind and they're laying on their sides. And someone made the comment, I don't want to use any name, someone made the comment to me that, hey, my wife and I can't do that, okay? And so I was like, well, my wife and I can because she's so much shorter than me. And I just wondered, is that something you guys tried to pull off before? The making out while from behind.
Would that be like extra double missionary?
Extra double.
It would be like a reverse. You'd have to get a negative negative. Double negative somehow to make it like that. And I don't know if it's being described the right way, Courtney. You'd be laying on your side.
That's why I said spooning.
Yeah.
She doesn't spoon.
Yeah,
it
I
is.
Know, but I, when you say, you know, how else you just I, anyway, yeah. I just when I see
well,
that
stand
I
said, up, we'll show her.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, lay down. You gotta lay down. Gotta lay yeah. down. Yeah.
You would be the little spoon, he would be the big spoon. You'd be on your sides, and like you would be spooning, only he would be inserted. So, you know what I mean? And then she's able to kiss him at the same time.
It was a wonderful scene.
It was a wonderful scene.
I think it just show. Yeah, I think you'd have to be a very well endowed man.
I don't think so.
I know you don't have to be. I can tell you with the utmost certainty that that's not true. So.
They have been pushing it. Netflix has been pushing it with a few of these scenes.
Yeah,
obviously, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I rewound that 3 times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially because it was in the butt, right, Courtney?
I mean, Russo is a good-looking dude. Yeah. And they comment on that, you know, repeatedly.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, that was his
thing.
His thing, right. Yeah. He was a good-looking dude, and I just, going into that season, I thought, we're not getting any... There's not going to be any sexual things in the, and then, well, okay, now, yeah.
There had to be a sexual component, I felt like, and I was really hoping it wasn't going to be Frank and
I was
Michael's
worried
wife.
About that, too.
I got
I
so
was
nervous.
Worried about that.
I got so nervous that they were going to hook up.
I didn't want, you know? I don't want Frank, because Frank doesn't care about sex.
No, and Frank would never be, Frank would see that as a betrayal of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think that
why are you
at
laughing?
Some point.
Because you said Frank doesn't care about sex, and Courtney's over there with a thumbs up like she loves Frank.
Frank doesn't care. And I love that because that makes him impervious to a woman's wily ways.
And all of the comics I've read, I take that back. There's probably been a little bit. Him and Elektra have hooked up. There's not a lot of Frank hooking up. I mean,
because like I said, it's a betrayal to him. Yeah, he still obviously still loves his wife. I thought they handled that really well, and then the scene after that, you know, because obviously Micro sees him, and Micro saw that it was her doing.
Oh
it,
yeah, yeah.
Saw that that Frank did the right thing, and then the way they got drunk and he had to show him his dick and what have. I mean, that was just a great sequence back and forth. You know what I mean?
I love the Micro Frank interaction. Oh.
Me too.
I loved Micro.
I did too.
Totally. Yeah.
So did
the whole
I.
thing. He was
did
great.
He, now, the question I have for you, Travis, is that, has he ever been in a comic? Is
oh,
that,
yes.
Is he? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Fat, so. Fat little dude.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, he's fat.
Yeah.
Well, this guy wasn't that.
No. And much different story. Right. I mean, it's, you know, they did kind of the same stuff, but take a much different. Right. Matter of fact, you know, let's just do it right now. You know, we're talking about it. Right. In the comics, Frank ends up killing Micro. Micro either rolls on him or buys illegal or guns from the. Something happens, and I can't remember. And I probably shouldn't even without because I can't remember.
Right.
Whatever he does, he breaks Frank's code.
Right.
And Frank
puts him down.
Shotgun to the head, kills Micro. Yeah. And I was like dreading.
Right.
Dreading that that.
Oh, you thought that that might happen in this season?
I thought it could happen. And he would have had to have done something horrible, and they laid no seeds.
Right.
No,
there was
no
groundwork
for that. You know, but there would have had to have been something horrible that he did. You know, and I'm like, I just can't see it happening, but I was like dreading it.
Did anybody else feel absolutely horrible that these writers made that wife watch her husband get shot to death twice?
Yeah. Don't do that. Didn't
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so she goes a year thinking her husband is dead, finds out that he's okay. She starts to be okay with it, and then watches him get shot to death again.
Yeah.
Yeah, the good thing is, at least women don't grieve as long as men. They kind of heal up from that shit pretty quick. They don't care. On to the next. So
I mean, look at Frank. He became the Punisher.
You know what?
I mean, that's what happens to us guys.
Yeah.
You know what we should have called this episode?
What?
Things Steven is going to say in front of Courtney to ensure him not getting laid. God.
Courtney's the one that told me that. What? You told me that.
Okay, first off, knock the shit off because I'm just outside. I'm just to the right of you, and I'm going to get hit with those laser beam eyes. Like, I'm in the backdrop here, man. You've always got to be aware of your backdrop when you're firing weapons.
You
I'm going to get
see,
caught in the
you
crossfire.
You ever see an old couple and the woman, the wife dies, the guy's devastated, he dies like a month later?
Yeah,
but if the rules reverse, she's got a boyfriend in like 2 months, and she's like, Carl was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen it too, where the woman dies first, and the man gets married like 3 months later because he can't stand being alone.
Well, maybe he traded up. I don't know.
Let's talk about some of these characters. Lewis. What'd you think of Lewis?
Who's Lewis?
Lewis is the one who goes crazy.
Oh,
the one
that
gets shot down by Russo and then goes nuts.
I tell you what, that character surprised me because I didn't think they were going to go there with him.
Yeah,
you know, you felt sorry for him kind of because you just felt he's
struggling.
He's a warrior,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't seem too bright.
You know who I really felt bad for?
His dad.
His dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
That was another scene that I didn't like. He comes in with his shirt off, with blood all over him.
I get it, dude.
You get that his dad was like...
What do you do, man?
You call the freaking cops.
But he...
Call the cops on your kid?
But, dude, at that point, his son had already shot at him.
You don't do it in front of him.
Dude.
No. Well, right.
You
but,
do exactly what he did. Son, but, you're no, a hero. No, go no. take a nap.
But what beep, I'm beep, saying beep. Is...
Hopefully,
is,
Katie and Claire... Don't make any bad choices.
Because, no, I'm not talking about that.
Steve's going to be calling the cops on him.
What I mean by that is he had already not done anything because he wanted to figure out how he could help his son. And his son shot at him and he didn't pull the trigger on the cops at that point. A little bit of blood wasn't going to do it. Now, the kicker is when you first saw him, he had the cut. He had a little laceration.
Yeah.
But he had his hands behind him. He was hiding his bloody hands from his dad.
Yes.
It wasn't until his dad made it was a cup of coffee or whatever it was that he reached. Well, when he reached for the cup, his dad had his back to him. And he kind of did it when dad wasn't looking. And then there was a brief moment where he turned around and then he kind of turned. So I kind of took it as maybe dad just didn't notice it. But I think it was more of I'm turning the other way because I don't know how to help my son. You know? What do you do? That was another part of that real thing of there are family members all over this country who are struggling with that same thing of
I'd call
don't know what to do to help, you know?
So I'd do. I'd get on Jerry Springer, get this. That's how I'd help
Is Jerry Springer
member.
Still on?
I don't know. There's somebody like him out there, though. Right. That's how you help a family
Steve
member.
Steve Wilkos. So
I enjoyed the arc, Lewis's arc. I mean, it was sad. It was very sad.
But and to me, it was very important because... It couldn't just be the Micro storyline. It couldn't just be that the whole time. There had to be another thing kind of in the foreground that was going on kind of along with it to fill 13 hours worth of television. Now, I thought that when he was going to work for Russo, he was shining in that room. When he was talking to those people in the gym and working out, everything was going to be okay. And then as soon as you found out that Russo was going to say no, it's not a good idea. That's when you knew he was going to unravel for the last time.
And that's when I thought that Russo was not going to be a bad guy.
Because
he didn't take the warrior just
right.
Because.
I will tell you guys, and I know that you guys shit on me the last time I didn't see something coming. The whole Daredevil thing, when I thought Daredevil was actually dead, I did not think Russo was a bad guy. I didn't. That came as a total surprise to me. I don't know about him in the comic. It seems like he might have been a character in the comic, so people saw it coming. I did not. I was surprised by that.
My brother-in-law and I were watching this together up north when I was up at the hunting cabin. My brother-in-law called it early, and I was like, no, I don't think so. But they got me.
They're very good at that stuff. They are very good.
Did you know that Russo was a bad guy from the books?
No.
No?
He is a character now from the books, but I don't even think the name was the same. Okay. The story was much different.
So now...
you were surprised by it then?
No, I was not. I had a feeling that he was a bad guy.
Okay. So now,
but not who he is now. He is a character now from the comics. He's Jigsaw now. Jigsaw is one of Frank's big villains, and it's a dude with a severely scarred face.
You just answered the question I was going to ask.
Yes, he is Jigsaw now. Yeah,
and I thought that was kind of poetic justice to a certain extent because they fucked up the pretty boy.
And that's what Frank said. Every time you look in the mirror,
right,
you're going to see me.
Yep.
Yep. No, I loved it. Now, I thought they did it very well and made it so you cared for him.
Right.
And, they handled it.
They had
really
to
well.
Twist our fucking emotions,
yeah,
man.
Which they do. They do a very good job of that. Billy was a great character in this show. Madani.
Kind of annoyed me. Kind of bossing everybody around, acting like she's all tough, ramming her car into stuff. She was hot.
I mean, why would they put a woman in that kinda role, right, Steve? I mean,
because you got to have somebody that
is a minority woman.
I don't know.
So, can you name something that she's been in before? I loved her, by the way. I thought she did a good job.
No, I can't. I bet you're going to tell me something that blows my mind. Then
I don't think it's going to blow your mind, but you both are going to be like, "What?"
I didn't like her. Until I she grew on me as the show went, but on the onset I was kind of like, okay, yeah, well, there's our female minority lead. We had to have that, and that's really how I felt at first.
I thought she was beautiful because
let's be realistic, we can't put people
that trumps everything.
No, yeah, we can't put people like colors. That in important roles.
Yeah,
who cares?
What if she just walked on the ceiling for no reason? If she's hot, she's hot, right?
Right. I'd love it. Think about all the stuff she could do if she could walk on the ceiling.
What else was she in?
So, Kingsman.
Yep.
Not the Golden Circle, but the first one.
Okay.
The Samuel L. Jackson's assassin sidekick with no legs.
That was her?
That was her.
Wow, that does blow my mind.
Mind blown.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, no way. Yeah, that's her.
Huh.
Yep.
Wow.
Beautiful. I liked how she kind of went to Frank's side at the end. And
it's funny because... In The Punisher, you couldn't even tell that she had no legs.
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty impressive.
She was walking on those prosthetics very well.
That's kind of things they're able to do.
Movie magic.
Rollins. Was he called Agent Orange? What was he called? Agent Yellow?
Agent
Orange was... I struggled between Agent Orange being a person and Agent Orange being a thing. Agent Orange, I felt like, was Rollins, but then I thought... You know what? The way they talk about Agent Orange was the whole shipping of the heroin. It was that operation.
Okay.
So I got confused by that a little bit, but
I thought that's what they called him, and then when they found out his name was Rollins, that's what they called him.
Okay.
Regardless, what'd you think of him? What'd you think of Rollins?
He was an absolute piece of shit, and he did a great job. And that fucking scene where Frank has him in the crosshairs and that bulletproof glass, and he doesn't even flinch, and he just stands there, and you can see the shattered glass, that perfect fucking between the eyes shot. So good.
So cool.
So good. And the look on Frank's face as he pulls away from the scope. You know what I mean? I just, so good. Those freaking gloves he had, though, leaded or whatever,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man, just, and you could, the worst part about it was he maintained discipline through the entire series and was very stoic, very matter of fact. And then when he got to inflicting pain on Frank, that demon opened up inside of him and he just was just a monster.
Well, how about what Billy said
to
him?
He was just getting off on it.
That conversation with Billy saying to him that I think why you really wanted him dead was because he's the only person that ever made you feel that way, made you scared. Yeah. I mean, like, man, that was awesome.
What did Frank hit him with to cause that much damage to his eye?
Fist.
I thought it was. That's what I thought. I thought he just punched him.
He did.
But holy shit. Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have stopped him that day and wherever. You know what I mean?
Kandahar, wherever it was. What do you think? Did you like him as a bad guy?
He was a good bad guy, good actor. I don't want to meet that guy on the street. Even the actor, I'll tell him, I'm run.
Yeah, he's a creepy dude. Yeah. Frank, what'd you think?
Frank?
Yeah.
It's always hard for me when they make, the typical Punisher is big, thick neck, big guy. And that's the only thing that Barenthal doesn't really have. He's an in-shape guy, and everything else. But other than that, which is very hard to physically match these comic book characters, I get that. And other than that, which is almost too much to even ask for, he's great. He's the Punisher. Should be the Punisher.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll ever be a better one.
And I know how much you love He-Man, but I think if they get the right actor, even if he's not fucking just ripped on steroids, if they get the right actor and he pulls it off, you'll be like, you know what? I liked it. It worked.
Maybe. I'd like him to be a good 240, though.
And that's the thing. The show, you don't realize how little he is in this show. They do a good job of filming things, and a lot of the actors are little. I mean, let's be honest. Most people are little, Mm-hmm. But he's a little dude. But I never felt that way. Uh-uh. I never felt like he's.
He's very imposing.
Yeah, and they just do a good job with it. No, you don't think so?
No, they do a good job with it. I was mimicking Frank's
head
twerks that he always.
Yeah, you know what I love that Frank does? You know what I absolutely love that he does?
What?
When he's in a fight. Like a real fight. Yeah. Ah! Ah! I'm like, what the?
The way he fucking growls.
I love it, dude. Uh-huh. It's like a monster.
Yeah, he is. And he's crazy.
Just the
he
monster.
Goes to another place.
Yes.
Wow.
I loved it. Frank, you got any complaints or anything with Frank? You
no.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah. It was very interesting.
His hair grew really fast. From the time that he shaved and went clean cut to like an hour later, it was really long on top and still very short on the sides. That's just something ridiculous that I noticed. But I liked Frank a lot. He's very, there's in a lot of ways, he's very Ray Donovan to me.
Mm.
Kind of that man of few words or, speak softly, carry a big stick kind of deal.
How'd you feel about it when Madani says, did Billy kill, whatever that guy's name is, the whole reason she's on this big hunt, and Frank's like, no, that was me.
I pulled the trigger.
And, like,
his matter-of-factness about the way when he takes a life is just, it's cool. I mean, they're all bad guys, but mm-hmm. it's fiction, so
yeah.
That's why it's cool, but that, for that character, it's just... He's going to tell the truth.
And
he did it.
But he even, in that one, that's the one where he felt bad. And he said, and it still haunts me, today. Right. Whereas all the stuff afterwards, he's just a killer machine.
Well, we saw that. They actually gave us that spoiler when.
Yeah, we knew it
the
already.
Fourth or fifth time his wife gets shot in the head. And then the fifth time he pulls the mask off and it's him. Then you make that connection of he was the shooter in that Kandahar video.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a lot of great little tie-ins like that. So, but I did think that it's one thing to do what they were doing, but then to find out, then you find out that they're fucking opening up our soldiers that were killed in action and stuffing them full of heroin. That just made it that much worse, man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That just really kind of was fucking nails in the coffin, I think.
So I got one last question for you guys on this one. Where are you going to put this in the Netflix Marvel Universe world, your top three, okay? So does it even crack your top three? If it doesn't, what are your top three, okay? Steven, I'm sure you probably have thought about this a little bit already. You like to overthink everything. So what do you think?
Daredevil 1, Daredevil 2, Punisher.
Interesting. Peter. What about you, Trav? No, you go first, Trav.
Punisher 1, Daredevil Season 2, number 2, Daredevil Season... you know what? Daredevil Season 2, number 2, number 3... the Iron Fist. Just kidding.
I was going to Iron Fist you right in the fucking face.
No, I actually probably think I would put, you know what? I'm going to put Defenders number 3. I'm going to put Defenders number 3. I know it's short season, but I just love the interaction between those characters. Punisher is easily my number 1. And I love Daredevil. I thought Daredevil was great, but I love Frank so much that Season 2, because it was the introduction of Frank into this world, that's why I'm going to go with Season 2. Peter.
Punisher number 1, Daredevil number 1 is 2, and Luke Cage is 3.
I struggled with Luke.
You struggled with him on the list, or you struggled with the show?
No, I struggled to not put him in there.
Right.
But you know what? Jessica Jones might have been even. I think I love Jessica Jones because of the introduction of Luke,
yep.
And so he's in that. And I just loved her, and I loved Purple Man.
Yeah. Purple Man was a great villain, man. Yeah.
He was.
So, it was one of those things where we all had our ranking. We've all talked about our ranking before of all the Marvel. We haven't talked about it since Defenders and obviously the Punisher. Iron Fist will always be at the bottom for me. But the Defenders is right there in the middle of the meat, and the Punisher was going right to the top. I mean, the rest pretty much stays the same for me. I knew, you know. What's next for us for Marvel on Netflix?
They have not announced what is the next one.
I think they're
one.
Pulling back. Aren't they going to wait till after Disney?
They're already contracted for some of them.
Yeah, they've got to finish a few more.
I know Luke Cage is getting a season 2. I know
Jessica Jones is too.
Jessica Jones and Iron Fist are.
Oh, Iron Fist got on season 2?
Yeah.
I did know that, but yeah, that's a shame.
No, it's not a shame, because I look at it as
maybe
they can redeem, maybe they can make him awesome.
I liked Danny in Defenders.
I liked it better in Defenders.
Better,
but
maybe.
I still think he could be cooler.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I never finished the season. I couldn't. I never finished Iron Fist.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I'm going to because I'm that guy. But well,
you don't really have to. Honestly,
you know,
don't really have to.
Yeah, you watch Defenders, you're good. I mean,
it's just weird. It's just weird to me that everything. But Jessica Jones was that way for me too. Luke Cage sucked me in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both Daredevil sucked me in. Defenders even sucked me in. But I couldn't get into Jessica Jones. And then I sat down and watched it, and then I really enjoyed it. And I thought, okay, same thing with Iron Fist. And then I just slogging through it, man.
Luke, I think, I really wish they wouldn't have killed Cottonmouth. I wish Cottonmouth would have been the guy, the main villain.
Agreed.
I really love that actor. I love the way he was playing that.
I wish they wouldn't have killed Purple Man.
Supposedly he's been seen in shots for season 2. My opinion
is flashbacks
or the voice in her head, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he did die, right? Or at least they led us to believe he died.
He's dead.
I mean,
because even I think in Defenders.
He's as dead as Daredevil.
I think in Defenders they made a comment that you killed a man on live television and you're walking the streets or, you know, something along those lines.
Are we going to see a full-blown Hellcat?
Hope so.
Because I really hope we do.
I want to see her.
I love that fucking crack. Jessica Jones' crackhead neighbor. I love how he's like, kind of like her partner. Like, she'll never call him that, but he's kind of like, you know what I mean? I love that. But
great stuff.
Yep.
Awesome. Wrapping up the Punisher. We loved it.
All right.
You guys should watch it
too.
Hold on.
We got to talk about the leader of the support group. I thought that guy fucking killed his role. He was in multiple different aspects of the story. He tied quite a few different things together. Why was he the only one that knew Frank was alive?
I think because Frank trusted him.
Frank trusted him, and he said that he didn't want to tell Billy because he thought he was protecting him.
I imagine because he also got stitched up by him a few times, too.
Because somebody made the comment to me of, if him and Russo were so close, and I understand in the show, but I could see that being, you know, but.
This could have been a longer show because I could have went on about how improbable it is that Frank can take a beating like that and then go out multiple times like the next day, it seemed, and do it again. He's healed like the Wolverine, maybe not quite as fast as the Wolverine.
I thought they did a good job of showing that there was time lapse.
And maybe that's the problem of binge watching.
It was all in one day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to separate the timeline where if you'd see that week after week. I mean, we probably see Rick on The Walking Dead take a beating like that and do the same thing, but because I wait a week in between, it just doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference. And another thing I wanted to touch on is I do like about the character of the Punisher. If you're his friend, if he deems you haven't broken his code and he likes you, he is not going to let anything happen to you.
I know.
It speaks to that loyalty. That sense of loyalty is the one thing he has left that he's going to protect to the ends of the earth.
What's the blonde girl's name?
Paige.
Paige,
you know.
Get to see her naked?
True Blood, right?
She don't actually ever get naked, and she got pretty close, but.
I thought that was cool because I don't get that there's a romantic relationship there. But when he thinks she's in danger,
he cares about her.
He is like, ain't nothing going to happen to her under my watch.
It's family to him, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. But anyways, that's all I have. You guys satisfied?
I don't know if I'm ever satisfied, but
never satisfied. Wrap it up, The Punisher, Frank Castle. Netflix did it again, you guys. If you haven't watched it, take the time. Make sure you do it. Bar mitzvahs, birthday parties, Christmas parties, fuck them. Sit home and watch The Punisher. And until next time, for Steven and Travis, myself, Pete, we'll see you guys in the movie line. We love popcorn and Juju Fruits.
Reese's Pieces.
All right, we'll talk to you next time.